I told you I was coming back. Product reviews, interviews, podcasts. And you know how we do it. We're always
unfiltered.
I got something to say. Welcome back, everybody. We have a VIP guest. And by VIP, if you watch her on social media, she's doing so many things. She competes. She's talking about brands, fashion, where she's been, where she's going. Also, she posted a post a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, a week and a half, where it really, really hit home on where she was mindset now and how it's transformed into this positive outlook and loving the skin she's in. So let's introduce IFBB Pro, Gabrielle Tongle, which you guys will know her as Gabs. Welcome to the Unfiltered Podcast.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, it's winter. I assume you're in Calgary right now.
Yes, I am.
So you're enjoying the same winter that I have and, you know, some windstorms.
Beautiful, beautiful weather we have.
I apparently don't have the same windows you do, but I'll take it. I'll take it. I mean, that windstorm we had for, what was it, a couple of days, it was 90 kilometers an hour or 45 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. We totally skipped fall. We had no fall and just went straight into winter.
That's exactly what. They warned us, said, hey, guess what? There's a windstorm coming, because we had a few of them, and it literally blew fall away, and we literally just dabbed right in the middle of winter.
Yeah, no, exactly. I know. That's Calgary for you, though.
It's better than being in the prairies, because they have something like 3 feet of snow already and drifts.
Yeah. And no, that's very true. And I mean, this will probably melt a little bit in the next few days and then just start over again, right?
100%. So why don't you tell some of the viewers, most viewers will know who you are, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Gabs, as you introduced me, and I'm 25. I recently became an IFBB Pro last year, almost exactly a year ago. And I'm a very multi-passionate individual. I've been working for myself since I was 20 years old. So I've been doing my own thing since then. I'm a fur mama to a really cute dog named Cash. What else? What else is there?
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. I gotcha.
What else is there about me? That's pretty much the biggest thing about me is I'm just always doing so much that you really don't know what I do. And that's why I can't really explain what I do, is because I'm always doing so much at once. But I mean, that's what's kept me so busy throughout the years. So to throw, you know, my own fitness journey on top of all that is quite crazy. And so this year with the whole pandemic and stuff, it's not going to lie, it's been kind of nice to just focus on just business, just, you know, relationships, just life itself. Yeah, that's a little bit about me. I'm a fun person, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's neat where you see, like, you know, you have that entrepreneurial mindset where if you're sitting at a 9-to-5 job, where you woke up the same time, went to a desk, sat at the computer, had the same neighbors every single time, 40 hours a week, here's your paycheck, go home. Typically an entrepreneur hates that because they like to have no limit to the ceiling they have. Oh, I'll do, you know, a bit of this, a little bit of that, because they say we need 7 streams of income, of residual income, in order for us to retire at some point.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. I don't know if it's 7, but I definitely do a lot. I mean, it's kind of funny whenever my friends are asking me what I'm doing, or even when new people ask me what I'm doing and I start listing everything that I do, they're just like, whoa, like, how do you manage it all? And so if you want to kind of hear the spiel, like, I was doing online coaching for a little bit for women, had to kind of put that on pause a little bit, but I still do it part-time. I also am a virtual assistant. I also am a content creator for my own personal brand. I'm sponsored by Buff Bunny Collection, which is a really well-known Instagram clothing company for women. I do that. I'm sharing my love for fashion and fitness on my Instagram as well. And obviously all the self-love that I talk about and stuff, and my fitness journey. But then I'm also a graphic designer, photographer, videographer. So I literally do so many different things, but I am really grateful for it just because I get to meet so many different people. I am always doing something new and it just keeps me on my toes. That's for sure.
I wasn't counting, but that's gotta be close to 7. That almost. Might be over seven.
Maybe almost.
I think maybe almost, because you still, like you said, you weren't online training people, but you still do a little bit. So, you know, if we went back and counted that all, I'm pretty sure we would get close to seven. And congratulations on your IFBB Pro card. This is almost, like you said, your 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, I actually got two IFBB Pro cards, and that's why there's two behind me. I got it in a figure as well as women's physique last year in the Philippines. So that was insane day for sure.
That's a huge day. So when they announced your pro card for the second category, what was kind of the emotion behind that?
I didn't really know that was possible. I kind of thought that you can only get one and that's it. So definitely, like, after even the first one, I was still trying to keep my shit together. And then after that, it just kind of restarted again. So it definitely was surreal. And just knowing the journey that it took me to get to this IFBB status, you know, it really is, it's crazy. You know, all the ups and downs that I've been through, I've been chasing after it for 8 shows. I've been competing since I was 18. For my 18th birthday, actually, I competed. So while most 18-year-olds are ready to go party and stuff, yeah. I was like, no, I'm 2 weeks away from my first show. So here I am. It's definitely been a really long journey to get to where I am today, but you know, I don't regret anything. I don't wish anything was really much different, because it really allowed me to grow so much as an individual, as an athlete, and I've just learned so much. And I think that the fact that I get to use a platform such as Instagram, YouTube, your podcast, you know, I get to really share my experience with, you know, both men and women that not a lot of people are willing to share. I think a lot of people don't want to talk about negatives that they have gone through. They want to just talk about the positives and highlight, you know, all the good things. And so I think the fact that I've not completed my journey, but, you know, attained that big goal that I had set for myself in 2013, it really has opened the doors for me to just kind of elaborate on that entire journey.
What was your draw? Like you said, at 18, I remember when I was 18, you know, what was the draw behind, wow, I want to step on stage at the age of 18, where you're just basically getting to realize your own skin, what life is about, getting out of high school. And then you're like, you know what? No, I don't want to celebrate, which in Canada, 18 is your legal age to drink. Yeah. Well, in Alberta. But you're like, no, I will stick to my chicken and vegetables or whatever your diet was. You guys have fun, and I'm going to focus on the show. So what was your draw to competing and dedicating to that lifestyle?
You know, it's really interesting, because a little bit about me, I was that girl in gym class who would literally walk the lap, even though we had to run. I would sit out when I could. So I was never really into fitness or sports in general. I literally would join sports teams to like be a manager just so I could go on the tournaments. So I was never an active person, but I'm actually born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta. And I had moved to Calgary because I was a little bit of a troubled teenager getting into some trouble in Edmonton. And my mom said, no, you're coming to Calgary. And so I didn't really have any friends. I didn't really have any, you know, things that I really wanted to do. And I was really just mad that I had to move. Someone who's in high school having to move, leave her friends, it's just not a good combination there. So then we had a YMCA membership, and Instagram had just kind of started. Well, this is at least when I had first discovered Instagram. And I started seeing pictures of Nicole Wilkins on there. She's an IFBB figure pro. And I just loved the way she looked. And I was like, wow, like, you know, that's a really good look. And so I started to just follow bodybuilding.com workouts. I started to love it. And then a friend of a friend did competitions, and she said, why don't I coach you to do your first show? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I don't know, I guess just some sort of switch went off on me. And I was just like, I want to commit to doing this. And then that's what happened, because yeah, I went through, you know, grade 12 and then grade 12, like summer, like after graduating, of just being on prep. And it's kind of crazy that that's what I did, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I decided to commit to that and had no distractions from there.
Yeah. I would have been out. No, at 18, no chance.
Yeah. Okay. No, imagine, I had just graduated grade 12. It's supposed to be the summer of, you know, your life almost. And there's me just getting ready for a show. I mean, not going to say that I was perfect or like, you know, at that serious level that I have been in the like most recent years, but, you know, the fact that I still made it on stage is a pretty big deal, you know, considering I was only, you know, 17, and then turned 18 2 weeks before my show. So yeah, no, I really couldn't tell you what exactly made me do that, because it's not like me, to be honest with you, but I think maybe, like I said, I didn't have really anything else to do. So it's like, why not?
Well, I mean, you had two options, right? Like, you know, Edmonton was a little bit of a different life. So you got to see that grass. And, you know, it's not necessarily going to where you wanted. And then your mom's like, no, you're coming over to Calgary. And then, you know, that was transition where I do find that some people, when they're raised and they don't have a lot of that society fun, you know, as soon as they're allowed to, or they rebel is, you know, people say, get it out of your system. Where, you know, when I was younger in high performance athletics, I didn't have to necessarily worry how I looked, but then you still get to see that lifestyle of what being that athlete is and kind of that miniature limelight. And then you're like, no, that's not for me. So you kind of, you don't have to listen to anybody else that tells you no, because you've already experienced it. So now I got a question for you. Popped in my mind. So now that you have a 2-time IFBB pro card, you know, and you're looking back and hindsight is 20/20. If you had to give yourself advice when you're 2 weeks out to your very first show debut, what sort of advice would you give yourself back then?
2 weeks out from my show or just in general before I even started competing?
Let's go before you started to compete and 2 weeks out.
Okay. So before competing, I would absolutely have done a little bit more research as to the whole thing, you know, what comes with it. You know, the mindset that you should have before even thinking of competing, you know, doing the proper research on a good coach and just making sure you know why you're doing it, really. I think at the time, like I said, you know, I was like, wow, like, you know, she looks great on Instagram and stuff like that. But I didn't really know the ins and outs of what competing would have opened for me. You know, it opened a lot of good things. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be where I am today without getting into, you know, the competing world. But at the same time, it opened a lot of, you know, dark places for me as well throughout the years of doing all these shows that I've done. But I would definitely just say, like I said, really know what you're getting yourself into by asking questions. You know, really asking questions to the right people, because there are going to be people that are going to tell you just all the good things. You know, you get shredded and, you know, like really you get shredded and you get to go on stage in this pretty bikini, you know, they'll just highlight that stuff. But I think talking to someone who will really give you the good and the bad is very important. So, that, and with that comes researching a really good coach that will not only take care of you, you know, physically to get on that stage, but also internally. I see too many women go with coaches that just don't take care of them internally. And I think that people don't understand that you only have one body, one health, and that's just far more important than getting on a stage. So I'm very thankful for my coach, Freak Fitness, Darren Mayling. He has taken care of me so much throughout the past 5 years that we've been together. I wasn't with him in the first year and 1 to 2 years that I was competing, but after that I found him and I've been with him since. But I think finding a really good coach is very important. And then just thinking about the relationship you have with yourself and with food and with working out, I think this is the biggest one that I would really highlight, because you know, fitness is a big thing, especially now. Everyone has found the gym, and I'm really happy for everybody for that. But I think with that, people right away think that the next step is to compete, and that's not necessarily the answer. And so when girls approach me and ask me, like, you know, should I compete? Because I love going to the gym. I love the results I'm getting. I ask them, well, how's your relationship with food? How's the relationship with, you know, what you see in the mirror? Like, how is all of that? And if the answer is it's great, then, you know, why would you put that into jeopardy is kind of my thing, is because I don't feel like everyone is built for what comes with competing. I mean, of course it depends on what side of the spectrum you're going with. Like, you know, if it's a bucket list thing, that's different. If it's, you know, I want to get my pro card, that's another thing. But in general, honestly, I don't know if I would have done this again, if I would have asked myself this, you know, all these questions that I'm telling people to ask themselves, because I was in a really good place with my body. I am now, thankfully, I've gotten to a really good place now, but in between from then and now, was it easy? Absolutely not. Especially my first 2 years, that was probably the hardest time for me to see your body go from normal to not so normal, you know? And so I know this is a really long answer to your question, but those would be my main things, would be those three things that I listed there. And then come 2 weeks before my show, definitely would be to trust your, you know, gut instinct, and also just trust the process as well. I say trust your gut because if something doesn't feel right, don't force it. There's usually a reason why you're feeling that way. But at the same time, there are situations where you're just really challenged at that point and you really just need to trust the process. And so it's not a really black and white answer for me to say that, because there's been different mind frames that I've had 8 weeks out before a show, 2 weeks out before a show. And actually, like, kind of going in a different direction, but the year before I had turned pro, I was gunning for my pro card again, and I actually had to pull out of my show like 8 weeks out. And so I think that's something that also I'd love for us to talk about if we have the time to, because I think some people also don't know when it's okay to, you know, pull out of a competition prep either. So yeah, hopefully that answered your question. If not, ask me another question.
No, 100%. And that's what, like, it's hard, because even if I look back, right? Because I remember when I first went to a show, that was 2000 and it was 2000 and something. It was an early 2000 and something. I can't remember what it was, but I remember sitting.
Say what it was that we don't know.
I can't remember. Because my first show was 2004. So 2000, maybe 2003 or something like that. I can't remember. Maybe it's 2000. Anyways, in early 2000s, and I watched the show, and back then, it was at the ABBA show, and bodybuilding then was very underground. So if you didn't see the posters, right, at you know, in the right gym, or if you didn't know the right person, or, you know, Facebook, because Instagram wasn't even around then, no one knew about it, because it was the black cloud where anybody that goes there, they're drug dealers, they do lots of drugs, it is disgusting and everything else. But then you go to the show, and I looked at it and I'm like, that looks easy. I can totally do that. You know, throw them some tan, eat some vegetables, do some cardio. Yeah. It is not easy. And when you said the fact that you made it on stage, 60% of people can't even make it on stage.
Right.
And then out of that 60%, you're still left with 40. So out of that 40%, only 4%, and loose number, 4% of those people actually make top five. So to be in the top 5% of the world is a huge feat, which I didn't realize. The odds of making it pro in any show are low, just because of the it's more or less the time and dedication needed. I think Kai Greene says you need to be obsessed with it, where you live, absolutely, you eat, you breathe. Is that something you would agree with?
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, throughout this journey getting to IFBB Pro, I don't want to say the word sacrifice, but I definitely put aside, you know, taking care of my relationships properly, taking care of my business properly, and just anything outside of training, eating, and cardio and sleep. I can't tell you that I gave it my 100% throughout those times. And I mean, for example, last year I had prepped for 9 months out of the year. And so that's a lot of months to not be fully there to all things outside of life. And it sucks, but it's kind of the reality, to be very honest with you. And I mean, it paid off, thankfully, at the end of it. But yeah, you need to make sure you have a really good support system, for sure, that's going to understand the lifestyle. Thankfully for me, not only does, you know, my immediate family, my loved ones, my boyfriend, my siblings, my mom, everyone understands it, but so does my extended family, such as my aunts, my uncles, my grandpa, my grandma, you know what I mean? Like, yep. You know, I think it's really important that everyone around you understands what you're doing. But with that said, I also think you need to create boundaries of who you talk to about what you're doing, because not everyone's going to get it. Everyone's going to have their own opinions. And you just, when you're at that level where you're so focused on a certain goal, that's what you're going to be. And also when you're dieting, you can get irritated real quick. So it's best to just not talk about it with certain people. And even on social media, you stop kind of posting about it and talking about this and that, because just so many people give their opinions. And like I said, when you're laser focused on a goal like that, you really just need to be concerned about you, what your coach has to say, and that's pretty much it, to be honest with you. So definitely it is something that you're pretty much obsessed with, because like, I'm bringing coolers to restaurants, I'm timing my life around when I gotta eat, when I gotta train, when I gotta do cardio, and I'm quick to say no to something if it doesn't work for those three things. So absolutely, your life becomes prep. And I know I have found a better balance, I'm not gonna lie, but in the beginning, definitely not. And not everyone finds that quote unquote balance. You know what I mean? So, it's not all just eating, training, you know what I mean? It's so much more. And I think that's where a lot of people just don't understand that until they get into it, unfortunately. So I just wish, like I said at the beginning, I just wish people would ask more questions. And I wish those people who are answering those questions would be more real about the answer and not just say, oh no, like it's fine. Like you just eat like this, you just train like this, you're a little moody, you're a little hungry, whatever. Like, it's not just that. It's so much more. And then with that, and I know we're going to talk about this a little later, is, you know, the relationship you have with yourself and what you see in the mirror and going forward when you're not prepping for a show, that I think is the biggest thing that a lot of people kind of just sweep under the rug.
Yeah, I agree. Like, people need to ask a lot more questions where a lot of, like, you have these coaches that have made a name for themselves, mm-hmm. and they're like, there are good coaches and there are bad coaches, and bad, I just mean like they don't take health as a priority.
Right.
And, you know, they are out there and they're very successful at what they do. But I find that people are more chasing a name of, oh, my coach is so-and-so, or, oh, hey, this, my coach is this person and they coach that, you know, this other person mm-hmm. that I look up to. So they're more or less brand name chasing versus asking questions, right. Where it's like you said, it's one life. I remember at a show where I was sitting beside another coach at these shows, there'd be like five or six coaches of us sitting side by side and shooting the breeze. We wouldn't care who your teammate was. We were all friends. And, you know, he leaned over me once and said, you know what, if you were to test this guy's blood work right now, mm-hmm. his organs would come out clinically dead. I'm like, okay, what? And he goes, yes. He goes, I know how many diuretics this person has put in their body. And if he was to get his blood work done, his organs would show failure. And I'm like, holy smokes. And he goes, yes, but look at him. He looks like he's an epitome of muscle. He's sitting at 3%. He's around 245. And he goes, but his insides are slowly dying. He goes, how do you feel about that? I'm like, no. And he goes, yeah, there's coaches. Their job is to sell. So if someone says, hey, you know what? Am I going to get sick? A salesman's going to tell you no. But a good coach is going to tell you the risks and the benefits. And then you can make your own choice from it. So I blame the coaches. And I also blame the clients, because the clients aren't asking the right questions and the coaches are kind of skiffing over it, trying to get that, you know, that income.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, like I said, so this kind of brings me back to me and where I was, I think it was 2018 where I had to pull out of my prep. And you know, what I'm so thankful for with my coach is that I literally laid it out how I was feeling and everything like that. And he really did kind of elaborate, like, you know, I don't want you to step on stage if this is what's kind of going on for you. And it takes a lot for a coach to say that, because obviously, you know, the end goal is to get you on stage. And the fact that my coach was, you know, really thought about my internal health, my mental health, and said, it's okay if you don't finish through with this prep. It's okay, because there's always going to be the stage, but you only have your body, right? And so yeah, like I said, I am totally all for that. And I think that people need to realize that it's okay, that it's just not your time. But at the same time, I like how you said it's also the coach's fault and also the client's fault, because I think that I keep losing my train of thought.
That's okay. There's a lot of thoughts going on in there.
What is it? Oh, clients are very quick to blame just the coaches. Very, very quick. And I don't think this is fair to the coaches. You know, I've been at that point where I've had to make a hard decision with my coach about my prep, but we both, like, I take that ownership, you know what I mean? And I do agree that there are some coaches that kind of just push the clients to keep going for the wrong reasons, just because they want another, you know, top 10 or whatever to add to their roster. But I do think at the same time, it's also up to you as an individual to be like, okay, this isn't a smart idea. You know what I mean? Like, we all need to have that common sense. And for the most part, we're all adults who are competing. I mean, me being
by age, we are adults. Yes.
Yeah. By age, we're all adults. So we should be able to make our own decisions of what's, you know, good for us and not. And so I don't know. I think that that's also another issue, is that clients are just so quick to just blame the coaches. And like I said, it's not for me to say that, like, no coaches are not right, but does that make sense? Not right? Yeah, not right.
Not right. Yep. I had to do the positive and the negative. No, there wasn't double negative. So, not right. Yes.
So that's, and so, yeah, I think also as a human being, as an individual, it is also still up to us to look out for our health too. So that's why bringing up those tough conversations of being like, you know what, like, I'm just not feeling like this is the right thing to do, is something important to do. And then also, you know, come with blood work. I think doing blood work is very important to do on a regular basis. I do it all the time before I'm prepping, after I'm prepping, and even just when I'm not prepping, it's just good to check on, you know, what's going on internally. And, you know, I just think we need to pay attention to those red flags as well. And like I said, it's not, your coach can only do so much, but it's also up to you as an individual to be taking care of yourself. Like, come on, you know, like, you're not paying someone to literally just take control of your total life, you know? No. So I think that's also something that a lot of athletes need to take ownership on, is knowing when it was up to you as well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's a team thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's communication as well. I feel like a lot of people are afraid to speak to their coaches. And I think this is something that, I don't know if it's the individual just being afraid to speak up, but for me, the biggest thing when I was choosing my coach was, you know, what kind of communication is there and how open can I be and how are you going to respond to me when I need a real answer? And thankfully with Darren, like, he's just so awesome at that. And he'll give you, you know, the real answer. He's not going to fluff it up or anything like that. And so I think you shouldn't be afraid to open up any sort of conversation with your coach. Where I know a few people who have been afraid, and unfortunately it has, you know, not ended very well for them, and they have a long road to recovery now. But that's the biggest thing. Just like any relationship, right? Communication is key. And so that's the same thing when it comes to putting literally your health and your body in someone else's hands. Like, you need to think about that. And I just don't think a lot of people are. And I think people are just so focused on getting to that stage, getting that trophy, getting that title, getting that social media exposure or whatever it is. And it's like, no, like, it's not worth it. Like, you don't think it was embarrassing for me to say like, oh, I've been prepping for, you know, 8-9 weeks, but I have to pull out now because I just can't finish the way I want to? Like, absolutely not. But I'm not going to put my body through something like that where I'm not even going to enjoy my time on stage. I'm actually going to be dying. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those decisions where it's like, you're either going to push yourself and then just not enjoy the journey. And enjoying the journey is very important because you're dedicating months of the year to this one day. So you need to enjoy it somewhat, right? So, yeah, that's.
Well, once you pick a lifestyle, you have to enjoy it. So whether you're vegan, vegetarian, paleo, carnivore, you know, figure, just an athlete, once it's your lifestyle, you have to accept all the risks and benefits and what it's going to do with the mind games. And, you know, somebody wants to be a bodybuilder and you're like, okay, it's going to realize it's going to become this obsession. Okay. I want to create a business that wants to make $150,000 a year or $10,000 a month. Okay. But that's going to take some work. You can't just post one thing. You know, it's as an entrepreneur, I'm like, if you put how many hours I put in per week versus how much I make, I can make more at a regular 9-to-5 job in oil and gas. Mm-hmm. But the limitation that comes with it is also very difficult. And you hit a very nice point when you're talking about the body and the mind. So when you got ready, you're getting ready for a show, you saw yourself, you know, the leanest you ever have been. Yeah. And as I tell my clients, it's a rental. It's not for yours to keep. It's like for the stage. And then when the stage done, you gotta go to budget or wherever you rental your coach and say, thank you very much for the body, coach. Here it is. And then you gotta trade it in for something a little more attainable. So Right. Is that kind of when that mind body connection kind of, because same thing for me when I was shredded for my first time and then mm-hmm. I got softer and I'm like, oh, it's no longer good enough. So what was kind of the mindset? Like, what went through your mind at that?
It was really tough. You know, like you said, you bring your body to the best shape ever. And I mean, every year I've gotten better and better. And so it's been tough for sure. Like, it hasn't been a linear thing where, like, you know, I'm good every single year. Like, some years have been more tough than others. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to process the fact that you see yourself, you know, get more and more lean throughout the weeks. You're seeing this progress and everything. And I mean, when you're going through that, you're obviously, your energy is getting lower and everything like that. And so when you see that progress, you're like, okay, it's fine. Like, it's working. It's worth it. You know, we're on the right track. But then, like you said, once you hit that stage and then once it comes time to kind of reverse yourself into a more everyday body and a more realistic body for your body to function properly so that you can think properly, so you can have, you know, your body working good internally, it's hard because you're going the reverse, and nobody wants to go in the reverse. And you just get so used to seeing yourself getting more and more lean or more and more definition. And so seeing that in reverse is a really hard thing to accept, because like you said, you just don't feel like that's good enough anymore, because you've literally seen yourself the best shape possible. You're like, if I can attain that, why can't we maintain that year round? And I think a lot of people have a difficult time accepting that it's literally for a certain purpose. You know, they think like, oh, I just want to get shredded and we can stay there. But that's not the case. Like you said, we're getting this lean for a certain purpose. But after that, we need to get right back to a better baseline so that you can be a functioning human, a healthy human. And so it's really hard, definitely. And I think for me, it affected me a lot, because I just felt like I was a failure. I felt like I had gone overboard. I felt like I undone everything that I worked for. And I just feel like I wasn't relevant anymore, because I wasn't like goals to anybody. And, you know, it's also hard because I'm on social media, so I'm constantly sharing, you know, my progress. And you almost feel just embarrassed that you're going in the reverse path that you were documenting leading up to show. And so, I don't know, like, I guess when I first started competing, I thought, oh, I'm going to get lean for a show. Like, I'm going to love it. Like, I'm like, you know, who doesn't want to have abs and have all this definition, right? So I thought that was going to make me feel a certain type of way, you know, like, you know how we all say that, a certain type of way.
If I just look this way, I'd be happy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I thought that was the answer to the way I wanted to feel. And so I probably was in that kind of mindset for the first few years of competing. And that's probably why I just kept competing, was because I loved, you know, not gonna lie, we all love the attention we get when we're getting shredded. The minute I walk into the gym and someone notices I made a change, you know, they're quick to compliment you, social media compliments you, and everything like that. So I think, you know, we all love that feeling of attention. I mean, anyone who says otherwise is a liar, because I know we all like that a little bit. So I think that really, you know, made me feel good and stuff like that. And so I think that was one of the reasons I was chasing that look sometimes. Not 100% was why I was chasing it, but you know what I mean? Like, I want to also be transparent that's probably, you know, part of the reason why I just kept going. And so, where the fuck am I going with this?
Talking about your mindset and where you found the dysmorphia, or that your mind starting to have that negative impact.
The dysmorphia kind of started, is what you're saying?
Yeah, so when like, now looking back, you can probably see, oh, that's when I first started having that bad relationship with the mirror.
Yeah, so I would say when the dysmorphia really started to kind of kick in was when I took like a whole year off of competing, just because it just didn't work or whatever. And like, you just talk so negatively to yourself. You don't value yourself anymore. You're like your own bully kind of thing. And you just don't think you're good enough for anything anymore. And it really affects the way that you want to dress yourself, the way you want to go out in public, your relationships that you have with people. And then, you know, that can lead to eating disorders, and you're just never good enough kind of thing. And like I said, I thought that, okay, so let me compete next year and that'll help everything, right? Like, I'll get shredded again. We'll be all good. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be right back to where we want to be. And I did that, and yeah, temporarily it felt good, right? Temporarily. Yep. But then I got right back to that point where it's like, okay, time to switch into like the normal body. And it kind of just started to happen again. And this is definitely something that I thought I had to like go to therapy for and stuff, because it's just like, what is going on that I keep going in this circle of just not being happy no matter what I do? And so I want to say it was probably like 4 or 5 years ago that I really had the time to be like, what are you doing? You know, like, your body does so much for you. Do you realize that? Like, I had to have a good talk with myself to be like, do you realize what your body does for you? Do you realize that you're more than just an outer shell? Do you realize that you're wasting time just picking yourself apart rather than enjoying your life with the loved ones around you? And you know, also with social media, I had to really limit myself with that, because I feel like it's such a great thing. Don't get me wrong. I've connected with so many people. I've been able to do so many things because of social media. But at the same time, that is what really triggered it at times, is because you see these picture perfect people on social media, and then you start to think badly about yourself again. And then you think you got to do all these things again to make you happy. And then, you know, you literally kill yourself almost to get to where you think you need to be. And then again, you're just never really satisfied, because you're constantly trying to chase something that's just not, it's not the answer, you know? And so, I just really had to shift my focus to appreciate what my body can do, appreciate the fact that I can do all this cardio, I can do all this training, I can feed myself this food. You know, my body allows me to go from home to gym to do what I want to do. And so once I made that pivot, it honestly changed my fitness journey dramatically. And, you know, you could see it, like if you were to compare all of my preps and like how, not easy, but how much better my preps were, it was literally when I made that pivot to appreciate my body more throughout the journey rather than punishing it almost, you know what I mean? And so I think that's the biggest thing that I do say to people when they ask me, like, you know, should I compete? I say, you know, really check in with yourself and how you appreciate yourself and how you talk to yourself, because I can promise you competing could ruin that. Oh. And you can either have it work with you, or you can really just demolish that yourself. And so what's nice now that I've, you know, pivoted my mindset is that I just appreciate, like, I know it sounds so like a cliche almost, but I truly, truly appreciate my mind and body so much every single day that when I put it through extremes like I do in my prep, it's a lot easier to kind of accept the changes that come before, during, and after. And it just makes everything just so much more enjoyable. And I think your body also knows the way you're talking to it. And so with that being said, like, I do feel like I respond a lot better to, you know, my diet and my training and everything like that. And yeah, so, and it just isn't as hard for me. Like, me right now, this is my, like, I'd actually like to diet down a little bit, to be very honest with you, but I'm not as against this body that I'm in as I would be, say, 5 years ago. Years ago, I would be calling myself all the bad words possible. I would not be wearing my tight clothing that I, you know, I wear now. And it's just because I understand that I'm more than just my outer shell. I am a human being on the inside. People, you know, want to follow me, want to listen to me because of what I have to say, what I share, what I do. And it's not all about my physical body. Like, I used to always think that I'm like, oh, I'm not shredded anymore. Like, people aren't going to care about me. People aren't going to want to listen to me. But it's like, no, like, you're just so much more than that. And it's just, it's actually like so unfair to you to think that you're less than just because you don't look a certain way. And so, yeah, like, it's just crazy that where I am today, like, it doesn't bother me at all. And like if anything, I'm more confident than I would be 5 years ago when I was at this body fat percentage. And the only thing that has changed is just the way I talk to myself and the way I appreciate myself. And it, like I said, it wasn't easy to get to this spot. It took a lot of years of like ups and downs, but it's a spot that I really want so many women to get to, and men as well, because once you get to this spot, like, it's just, it's so much more enjoyable, your fitness journey and just life in general, you know, like, you just, you're not so focused on what you look like all the time. And I just think that consumes our minds so much. And like I said, I think a lot of that has to do with social media, unfortunately. But yeah.
Yeah. Social media, it's like you said, it's very, very important, but so is technology. But anything that hits the wrong people's hands, it's mm-hmm. going to have that negative impact, where I know of people that they can master angles and they can figure this out and they know how to post this and look this way and that way, which is great for their brand and for what they're trying to get across. But there's also, I think there's that catfish persona yeah. where I know of people that will get in shape for 3 months of the year at mm-hmm. best, maybe only 8 weeks. They will shoot for 2-3 months straight, hide, and then start posting pictures throughout the whole year how yeah. they look, and then they only know certain angles. And it's because a lot of people do that. So I think, you know, with social media, the pressure to look perfect is always there. But it leads into my next question, is I find the fitness industry is, they get obsessed within their own little circle. the whole competition world, if you were to take all federations and corporations and any kind of show together and put them all into one area, the total population is very, very small. It's a small piece of the pie where there are billions of people that don't even know what a show is. Yeah. So as we get obsessed and we got to get leaner, it's almost like we need to prove to our own peers that we're better than them or we're not stopping. But then as onlookers are looking at us, we don't really realize that it's pulling us away from them, because the further and further and less attainable we become, the less outreach we reach. So like when I see a Bugatti drive by, I never have, but when I did, I'm like, oh, that's nice, because it's not within my reach. But if I see a car that's 80,000, 90,000, let's say 110, I'm like, ooh, I could maybe do that, right? So it's, do you find that now that you've become more comfortable in your skin, that more people are actually following you and excited for you because you don't have that shredded look 24/7, 365?
You know what? Absolutely. And I'm really proud of myself for sticking with this, because from day one, I said, I'm using my Instagram to document my journey and I will never hide anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'll never give anyone I'll always be real is the biggest thing for me. I'll always be real. I'll be as vulnerable as possible because I want people to relate to me and understand that I am just like them. And so from day one, when I started my Instagram up until now, that is what I'm really well known for. So I'm glad that you're bringing this up, because I have followers who have literally followed me for years and they've seen me through it all and they've stuck around for a reason. And that's because I'm not afraid to show you my struggles, my success, and, you know, everything in between that people aren't going to talk about, as scary as it is. And the reason I share this isn't to get attention, isn't to, you know, say I'm better than someone or to get, to get like sympathy or anything like that. Like, it's not for that. It's so that people understand that this is what people that you idolize go through. I'm not saying I'm an idol by any means.
You can. Because you have to, like, I'm going to stop you right there, because it's the same thing where we are now.
Yeah.
So many people would aspire to be, like, even if I talked to myself 10 years ago and said, hey, you know what? Look at this guy. Look what he's done. Look what he's doing. I'd be like, oh my God, that is, I would love to be that. And then now that I'm there, it's not good enough. And it's the same thing where the body you have now, millions of people would die to look like that. And it's okay to be that idol. And it's okay to say, hey, you know what? I made something. You look at the back of your wall, you're a 2-time IFBB pro in one show. So being humble is nice, but saying, hey, you know what? Being able to inspire and be an idol for many because of your positive mindset, own it. Own it. Go ahead. Redo that one. I'm going to be ending out the, go ahead, do it again.
I have a really hard time doing that. And I think it's because I always say that I want to be everyone's like best friend, go-to. And I just want people to feel comfortable when they come to my page. I want them to feel like, like I said, I could be their best friend and they could talk to me about anything. And if you've, and for anyone who knows me in person knows that I'm literally like one of those people that you could talk to about anything and just feel like safe kind of thing. I actually have a lot more people following me, engaging with me, and saying that I'm like more of their motivation now that I'm more of like a, I don't like to say everyday or normal body, but a more attainable body composition for sure. But what's cool is that those same people do find my journey to the stage inspirational as well. But I think because I make it so clear that the body I attain for the stage is for the stage, that's why they don't get confused through the different body compositions I go through. You know what I mean? And so, and the fact that I do share it, I share it all, right? So I think that's the biggest thing for me personally that I found why a lot of people do resonate with me year round, show or not. And it's because I make it very clear what journey I'm on, what the purpose of it is, and, you know, what's realistic and what's not. And I'm always reminding people of that. And I think that that's just personally what I want to do. I know some people who are literally just known for being an IFBB pro or just, you know, an athlete in general, and that's fine. But for me, like I said, the biggest thing was to share everything about me. And that is, yes, being an athlete, being an IFBB pro, but also just being your everyday kind of girl, you know? Yep. So I think that was the biggest thing for me from day one. And like I said, others might find it different because, and you know what's really cool actually, is that a lot of IFBB pros that I've looked up to have now started to share more of their attainable bodies, and they've gotten so much love for it. And I mean, there's a reason for that, you know? So I'm really glad that more and more people are sharing, you know, the everyday life versus just the prep life. Cause like I said, it's a scary thing to do, to share, to be so vulnerable. It's so scary because not everybody understands, like, oh, why are you so off from what you look like on stage? Like, why aren't you as stretched? Like, not everyone gets that, and fair enough, right? And again, that comes with us explaining to our audience, to our peers, why this, why that, you know? So anyways, I just think it's so awesome that a lot of figure pros that I've looked up to are now sharing more of their attainable like body compositions right now, and I have no doubt that they've gotten more appreciation for it now too, because it's like, okay, I get it, we don't need to have cap shoulders and abs year-round, and it's fine. Even though you're a pro, it's totally cool. So I just like that it's becoming more of a thing to share everything, and I think that's really good for people that, you know, get into fitness and get into competing. Because like I said, when I first started Instagram and I saw Nicole Wilkins, I didn't know that there was something that wasn't the stage body, right? So
but there are some people out there that still live that 24/7, you know, they're you know, they like to show that they're that guy or girl that always has that bag and 3 hours of cardio all year round, and you know, they're hanging on to that feeling. And I find it's nice to see people are normal. And, you know, when I try to explain it to people what competing is, I said, it's almost as though you're a Hollywood star. You're a star in your own right. And you now have to get ready for a performance of your lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you'll see every actor, you'll see athletes doing where there's a certain look. You have to look by a certain day to go out and perform. You go and do that performance and, you know, you create a look, you create a body. And after that performance is done, you have to go something sustainable. Because not everyone can hold 4%, 6%, 8%. Some people can, good for lucky for them. And then, but it's also nice, like you said, that more people are showing that realistically, they aren't that 24/7, 4%. They're able to enjoy life. They're able to find that balance. And so when you get a message from someone, and so I'll say, hey Gabs, what are 3 things that I can do to start loving myself more? What would those 3 tips be?
It would be to appreciate what your body does in general, waking up, feeding yourself, walking, and just being able to be here to talk to you, you know, like really appreciating what the body actually does. Sorry, my dog is scratching. Let me just pause for a second, because I'm sure you could hear that. And then another thing would be to, let me think about this for a second. I can't even say 3 things because I just feel like the biggest thing is to appreciate what you do for yourself, physically, you know, emotionally, and just mentally, like everything that you're able to do for yourself is the biggest thing. And also realizing that you are you, your body is unique. And I think this is something that I failed to do a lot in the past, was I was like, why can that person be shredded literally all the time and barely do anything to do it? And it's just because we have different body types. We're different people. And so I think accepting that the way your body is, the way the body type you have, that's fine. Like, don't think that you need to be just like that person. And like, we're all unique in our own way. And we really need to just own that. And then I also just think, appreciating where you are in every phase of your fitness journey is important too. And like, yes, you do want to aim for where your goal is and everything like that. But at the same time, just appreciating where you're at, what's going on in your life, and just being more kind to yourself in that sense that, you know, you might be going through some things right now. You're focusing on other things right now, and that's okay as well. And also, like, what's really helped me like love myself more is dressing appropriately for myself. And I think this is something that a lot of people have struggles doing. I've been an extra small. I've been, you know, a 00 before. Am I that now? Absolutely not. And I think that it's okay that you're not either, even though you were at one point. So I also think that dressing yourself appropriately with the sizes that, you know, make you feel comfortable and the styles that make you feel comfortable is very important. And yeah, like I said, just really focusing on you are you. You know, you're not supposed to be that other person. You're supposed to be you for a reason, and really just own that and appreciate that. Like, I know I'm kind of like, I don't have a lot to say about this, but it's because I feel like it's a lot more simple than we think it is. Because that's literally all I really had to do to kind of change my mindset, was to take a step back and really think about what my body really does for me. And yeah, like, it's, like I said, I know it sounds really simple, but that's kind of the biggest thing that helped me pivot that, is just knowing my worth a little bit more, and just being more kind to myself, really. And I think also just setting boundaries on social media, and just expectations, and just being realistic as well. Like, it's, yeah, that's kind of the biggest things that I would have to say to anybody.
I agree with that. Keep it simple, right? Like, right? Some of the biggest solutions to life is right there, and it doesn't need to be complicated. Like, yeah. It's, I try to tell people, where, you know, when they're getting ready for a show or the transformation, they're like, that's it. I'm like, yeah, like, you can put it on the fanciest piece of paper. I remember my coach, my last coach for my last show, when he was busy and I would check in, he would write the changes on a napkin, and then he would take a picture and say, do this. And then I'd be like, okay. And then one time I asked him, like, on a napkin, he goes, would a fancier piece of paper make it any more valuable to you? And then I was like, nah, crap. And so, you know, a lot of people get stuck with the flash, but to get to your goal, it's simple. Keep it simple. Yeah. Don't overcomplicate it unless you hit a complication, but then the solution, keep it simple, right? Like, yeah. Don't bog yourself down with what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. And you ready for the stress question?
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Here comes the stress question. What are your plans for the next 30, 60, 90 days? If people want to know what's up with you, what's new, what's going on in your 8 areas of expertise, yeah, what's going on for you in the near future?
So right now I'm really just focusing on my business. I've pivoted my business quite a few times this year, not going to lie. I've been like, no, I'm going to go full on fitness coach. No, I'm going to go full on content creator. Nope, I'm going to go full on virtual assistant. So that's where I am now. I'm hoping to set up a virtual assistant agency come the new year. I just feel like there's so many people, and this is, you know, kind of where I come from too. Being a solopreneur, you think you can do everything, but the fact is, you can't. You really need to focus on your, you know, zone of genius, and then kind of, you know, bring on other people to help you build, you know, your dream and your empire kind of thing. And so being a virtual assistant has brought me so much satisfaction, just helping so many people kind of offload some of the things that don't necessarily require their time, where I can kind of help them with that. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I am in front of the scenes, but I also like to be behind the scenes. So that's kind of my biggest goal right now, is to keep building that business, keep going with my content creation business of doing like photography and videography. And then also, you know, maybe put my fitness goals in first. Not gonna lie, those have been not a high priority for me this year, just because, like I said earlier in this podcast, it's when you're doing fitness and like preps, like, you prioritize that and that only. And so this year, like I said, has given me a lot of time to really focus on other things and stuff. So definitely I'd like to do some sort of a lifestyle prep for myself, just because, why not? It's good for you, right?
It's winter, right? Why not?
Yeah, so that's another thing. And just keep sharing everything that I've been sharing on social media, that everything I love, and just not getting so caught up in like what I think is the right thing to do with social media, and like what I should be doing because of everything that I've portrayed myself as, like, you know, like I said, being an athlete and stuff, yet I don't share any fitness things anymore on my social media. So yeah, just kind of enjoying that. And I mean, honestly, if there's anything 2020 has taught me, is that nothing is really guaranteed the plan that you have in mind. So no. I'm really just kind of going with the flow, to be honest with you. I think I also forget that being young, it's okay that I don't have a exact plan for 30, 60, 90, as much as I'd love to. But the honest answer is that I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing, but ask me again in 2-3 months and it might be completely different.
Amen. Amen. And so, yeah, if people want to join in the journey, they've been listening and they want to now jump on the Gabs train, see what everything's up to, where can people see you on all the social media? What are your handles?
People can find me on Instagram at Gabrielle T. Tongle. They can find me on YouTube at Gabrielle Tongle. And that's pretty much my main two places that you'll ever find me. But if you find me on either of those, you'll find everything else that you need to know. But that is the two main social media platforms that they can find me. And they can always join my Gab Fam and all of the craziness that I share on my stories and on my feed. And I'm just to warn you all, I'm a little bit of everything. So you won't clearly know what's going on, but you'll realize that there's just a lot on the go for me.
It's organized for you. And, you know, like, people are going to get diversity through watching you on socials. So it's not always going to be the same thing. But yes, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day. Absolutely. And answering some questions. It's been informative. I've learned some things. We've learned a little bit about you. And you said 3 months. Check back and see what's going on.
I'll be happy to be here again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.